Welcome. This is Dr. Susan Paul, the Simple Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to bring you information about Penta Water, followed at the half an hour, information about Lyme's disease. We'll be interviewing the author of the top 10 Lyme's disease treatments. Today we're talking with Mr. Holloway about Penta Water. Penta Water has been part of the treatment protocols of many of the chronic diseases that we treat at Millennium Healthcare, primarily because it's really, really good at detoxification and hydration, two things that are extremely important. Plus, it is very, very purified water with oxygenation and a treatment that renders it able to get into the cell, unlike other waters. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Are you calling from California?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, great.
Morning here. Good afternoon to you.
That's right. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about today? Any new developments in the research that goes on with Penta?
Nothing new on the research side at the moment, but Penta, of course, has a lot of research behind it. Penta has been proven to hydrate the cells faster. There are a lot of research studies on our website about antioxidants and such. Penta has been proven to enhance antioxidant activity. So if you're, taking vitamins, things that are antioxidant nature, if you're taking supplements or even juices, anything that has antioxidant potential, it'll work better when you take Penta with it. So it's quite amazing that the Penta can do what it can do. And, you were mentioning our patented process, how we structure the water, how we mm-hmm. put it through this, cavitation, we call it. And that's how we get the water to the, to go into the cells easier. And it's been a kind of a long road to where we are right now, but we have a really huge following of people who notice the benefits of Penta and how they feel better. And your body it's mostly water, and everything is done in a water boundary. And if you're not bringing in quality water, you're not going to perform. Your body's not going to work well. So quality water like Penta is going to give you a better quality of life because your body's going to run better.
Well, we need to tell our listeners a little bit about how water, what microclustering of water is, and how most water, unless it's extremely, extremely purified and treated with, one way is to treat it with the patented process that Penta does, and the other way is to put certain mineral elements in it to microcluster it. That was what Crystal Energy did years ago. But essentially, microclustering is a process by which the water elements are not are very, very purified into crystals rather than clumped around contaminants. I think that's the way I understand it. Is that what you understand?
Water is a polar molecule, so water
right.
tends to agglomerate in large arrays, they call it. So your most basic form of water is a pentamer. That's
right.
That's the name Penta. So
right.
when you break water down and, number one, and pull all the impurities out, and then, we cavitate it to get the clusters down smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, the cells are more receptive to it. Now, the cells hydrate through a thing called aquaporin. Aquaporin is an active water channel that is controlled by hormones in the body. And these, aquaporins are, there's billions on your cells which are letting in water. And they only let in water. So if that cell has to fight for a boundary of, minerals around the water that are, number one, not bioavailable, it has to work harder to pull that water in. So
mm-hmm.
what we're doing when we cluster our water, it makes it where it's a more single file format because a cell, the actual, aquaporin, is about 6 angstroms in size. So it's letting through a water molecule, which is 2.8 angstroms in size, go through nearly side by side.
And clinically, say if you get up in the morning and drink a bottle of Penta water, versus a bottle of bottled water, you'll feel a difference in that you don't feel full or bloated because it gets absorbed very quickly. So that's
right.
Probably what. And then you're saying that if you take your supplements in the morning, with the Penta water, after the Penta water, or even with them is what I do, then those supplements are escorted into the body much quicker, actually you get more money for your supplements that you're buying because they're not just wasted.
Exactly. That's one of the things we found early on is my father suffers from fibromyalgia, and you know that's known as also as chronic fatigue syndrome, where you're
right.
in constant pain, and there's lots of things that can come from chemicals. We believe his was started from heavy metal poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
However, the body, it works better when it's hydrated. So we found that number one, when he was taking his medications with the Penta water, when we first started making it, he had a more profound result of the medications working.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually
because it
felt,
got in the system.
Exactly. It carried
right.
it through his system faster.
And
so,
I just wanted to mention that fibromyalgia, because it is so closely linked to toxicity, especially heavy metal toxicity. In your father's case, it was probably due to industrial exposure, military exposure.
Exactly.
But for me, it was due to, I think, 16 mercury fillings in my mouth. and that would do it. Plus, the normal lead and other things that we get exposed to before the lead gasoline was banned, those of us who are over 50. So basically, Penta has been so successful in treating fibromyalgia, if fibromyalgia is due to chemical toxicity because of the detoxification effects of just the water.
Right. And there's a lot of misconception out there about, water you should drink and, the pH of it and such. And that the one thing that I kind of always talk about to consumers that call in is, you want to know what pH you're drinking, of course, or eating, or, because most fruits and vegetables are at a 7 or slightly below 7, acidic. And, all antioxidants are acidic. Now, of course, Penta is at about a 6.2 pH.
Mm-hmm.
But, it is, when you look at the grand scheme of things, it is a neutral product because it doesn't have anything in it to fight what the body is doing. So, for example, if you take Penta water and you put it in the stomach, and the stomach is a pH of 2, for example, Penta is going to mock that environment and go to a 2 as well. Now, it's not going to change the acidity of the stomach concentration-wise,
mm-hmm.
but it'll mock the environment. So it's not going to upset the stomach at all because it goes in, mocks the environment, and water's not digested, it passes right through the stomach. So, there's no effect of changing the pH. And the other thing that I often talk about is with pH is, people are being told nowadays, make sure you alkalize. Now, alkalize
mm-hmm.
and alkaline are two different animals completely. And I often say, if you took a lemon and drink that juice, would you think you would acidify or alkalize your body? And you would, in fact, alkalize your body. Even though a lemon is about a 2 pH, it's packed full of the nutrients that your body can use to alkalize.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing how people are being told to, drink really high pH product, and they're actually doing, some detriment to their body because they're taking in minerals that are not bioavailable, the body can't use, have to discard them as waste.
I think one of the best ways to alkalize your body is actually to do it via diet, where you just avoid very acidic foods chronically, over time. And that will help alkalize the body. And then people who have a particular need to alkalize because they're extremely acidic with certain diseases, we can do that chemically for them with buffer pH and other supplements. But to neutralize your stomach acid, I saw a study out where people who were on H2 blockers had 500 times the risk of food allergies because the stomach is supposed to break food down, and when food isn't broken down with the acid content in the stomach, then you can have rather large molecules get absorbed through the gut, leaky gut syndrome, and cause circulating immune complexes, which then can lead to fatigue, joint aches, that kind of thing. What we're seeing more and more, because so many people have been put on H2 blockers, and what I like to do is just treat the yeast infection of the cardiac valve, which is the valve between the esophagus and the stomach, so that it works better, and then that way you don't have to take anything for your reflux, because your reflux goes away. So that's that's a little bit of information that some of the listeners might use if they're on H2 blockers. You might want to try to get off them.
Yeah, and the important thing is diet. You know, we're getting our minerals from what we eat, not from what we drink. So, you know, everything goes back to diet. You know, for good health, you have to have a proper, you know, well-balanced diet. If you're drinking, you know, coffee and soda, you're slowly killing yourself. And people don't realize how bad these things are for you. And everybody does. You know, we all live in a dehydrated state. It's so common. People don't realize that, you know, most of the world is just dehydrated, and it's just normal. We're used to living that way.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, you may have heard about the floods in Atlanta. They were on the news.
Yes.
We got rain for an incredibly long time here. It didn't let up, and then it led to flooding. But rain over time makes the ground moist, and that increases mold on the ground. And mold produces a biotoxin, which goes into the air, and then if you've got that sensitivity to biotoxins, which 1/4 of the population has, it produces a situation where you just pee all the time because you have an ADH deficiency. So when it's moist like this, and it's still moist today, I think it's going to rain today again, the patients I have and myself, because I have this condition, which is really a lot of fun, you just end up drinking and peeing all day long. Because you don't have the ADH to retain the water. And I imagine a lot more people have this. I mean, it's 1/4 of the population, so unless you're living in a very dry environment, like parts of California, Nevada, Arizona, you're gonna potentially have this when it's very, very wet. And that's why a lot of people get kind of the fatigue, muscle ache, mental clouding, and peeing all the time when it's moist for a long period of time.
And that's also why it's so important to make sure you're bringing in, you know, quality foods and quality beverages, because there are so many things in the environment that are harming you. So you have to kind of balance out the good with the bad. And, you know, bringing in a good, clean, quality water like Penta that goes through a, you know, very, very tightly controlled process, which, you know, ensures safety of every bottle, you know, you're going to get hydration and you're getting security. You know, the city does a good job of cleaning water up, but, you know, they can only do so good for the volumes that they have to deal with. And when you have things like you're saying, you know, and how it's, you know, raining out there,
we can't drink the water out here.
Yeah, the city water gets overrun by the rain, and they can only, you know, purify so much.
They put warnings out not to boil the water. That happened last week. I mean, people need to understand that. It doesn't happen very often that you get so much rain that you flood, but they say every 100 years or so. But when it does, you do have to remember not to drink the tap water.
Right.
Because you don't know. I mean, by the time they give you the warning, that means people have already gotten sick, obviously. So you have to be very careful. For practitioners out there, doctors who understand the benefits of Penta, Penta came up with a program to help the patients, especially in those areas that don't have stores close by, like in the country, to order Penta water to their home. Are you familiar with that program, I guess?
Somewhat. In addition to that as well, we often have really great internet deals. One of the problems with sending out, you know, water, you know, Penta water across the U.S., shipping is very expensive. So we do often have deals where we're kind of, you know, getting a break on the shipping. So, you know, Penta is an expensive product, but the benefits far outweigh the cost because, you know, what is your health worth? You know, it really, when you have an ailment that can be helped by hydration, and there are so many things that can be helped by hydration, because your body is an amazing tool that can correct itself from a lot of issues if it has what it needs. It needs, It needs, you know, the proper foods. It needs the right diet. You know, it needs hydration. And when it has those things, it is able to cure itself, you know, from a lot of things. So it's really important to keep in mind that, you know, you're looking at, you know, what is your health worth? You know, it may be a little more expensive than, let's say, you know, your other high-end products out there, but nothing compares to what Penta has done for so many and what it can do for you.
Well, I have a suggestion. You know, many people out there have a medical savings account, and if their doctor will just say that they recommend or need Penta water on a medical record, they can deduct the costs in the medical savings account, just like you use supplements.
That's good to know.
Well, it's true, because,
yeah,
you know, I have prescribed Penta for certain people. I mean, that's especially people who have swelling that doesn't respond to anything else that I believe is toxic in nature. And
right. The
Penta generally helps the swelling.
Yeah, absolutely does. Yeah.
And let me explain why that is. The toxins, which are various, I mean, sometimes we can't really determine what they are, or even where they people got them, but they suddenly present with swelling all over, usually lower extremity, worse than upper, and they have problems they don't have any cardiac or renal problems. That's not the problem. And the only traditional treatment is to get something like a diuretic hydrochlorothiazide, but that causes a lot of electrolyte disbalances. So if you give them Penta water, that, because Penta takes the toxins out or helps the body process the toxins, or dilutes the toxins, that may actually be what is happening. It's actually diluting everything and
right.
then washing them out. That it's a natural way to get rid of the problem, and then hopefully the person won't get back into it, you know, won't get re-exposed.
Right.
And that happens a lot in industry. I see a lot of workman's comp, and we see rashes and swelling and all these inflammatory diseases that I'm pretty sure are due to industrial exposures.
And what you were saying about dilution is quite correct. You know, we have seen that with chemo drugs, we've had a lot of people that have gone through, you know, chemotherapy and been on Penta water. And when they go in for their test to see what their chemo levels are, typically what they'll see is the chemo goes in a little quicker and goes to a higher, if you look at like a peak, it peaks up to a very high peak, and then it goes back down to a baseline of zero very rapidly.
Right.
And most of the damage from chemo drugs is because of the tailing effect, because the chemo
right.
stays in your system. And the work is already done in a very short period of time when you go in for your chemo session, but the ill effects of hair loss and skin damage, you know, because skin and hair are rapid-growing cells, and as well as the cancer cells, so those cells get attacked by the chemo drug. So if you can get it out of your system, you know, get it in quick, get it out quick, you're going to be far better off. So a lot of that is dilution and the fact that your body is moving water, moving toxic water out, moving fresh water in to carry out all the junk in your body.
And just in general, I mean, people who might be younger, not too worried about, you know, degenerative diseases, Penta has been shown to improve athletic performance, endurance, and a lot of other, you know, kind of like daily living things, energy. So, you know, if you're in a younger population, if you're in the older population, of course, we're doing everything we can to do anti-aging and everything. But of course, the younger people are not too worried yet about anti-aging or decreasing the risk of cancer because they're simply, you know, not facing those health challenges usually. I mean, there are exceptions, but just to feel better, to have more stamina, to, you know, to be able to do your physical activity to a greater degree. And that's why a lot of the Olympic athletes use Penta.
Exactly. And you know, anybody who's in tune with their body is going to notice the effects of Penta much more. Your couch potato who's always drinking soda and coffee may not notice it as much. They're going to get a benefit, mm-hmm. but they're not in tune. Like women notice it more, athletes and people that have mm-hmm. various diseases notice it more. You know, we have Drew Brees now who's, you know, a kind of been using Penta for a long time. Now he's just signed up with us And so he'll be, you know, showing Penta around a lot more, which is great for us. But he notices, you know, that he does better on his recovery. And, you know, when your body is damaged, you have to bring in nutrients and fluids, and you don't want to have water retention and have, you know, edema, because that's when things don't heal very quickly. So, you know, your body will retain water when it's short on water. So if you start getting swelling, it could be because of dehydration, because you can actually, you know, get swelling from retaining the water, from not having enough, or could be from, you know, damage to your body or impacts and such. But when you take Penta, you move fluids, and your body does recover faster. And these are proven studies that we've done with various types of athletes that, you know, they have a faster return to blood plasma volume. So if you go to clinical dehydration, 2%, you know, dehydration, and rehydrate with Penta, your recovery is much faster.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then as you get older, some of the, I think they were Russian experiments, showed that cancer cells did not do well when exposed to Penta water, that kind of thing, that there seems to be a protective effect against, and that's probably because of the detoxification. A lot of cancer, we don't know exactly the cause of cancer, but we do know that cancer cells grow in toxic environments much quicker than they do in non-toxic environments.
Absolutely.
And then anti-aging effects, you just mentioned antioxidants getting in, free radical being eliminated more efficiently, and it's well known that the aging effects, which are multiple, are associated with higher free radical, as are most chronic degenerative diseases, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, vessel disease, you know, whatever, are flourish, or at least there's a bunch of free radicals around when the disease is around. You know, causation is sometimes more difficult to establish, but when you don't have the free radicals around, the disease state dissipates. So there's something involved there.
Yeah, if you go on pentawater.com, you'll see one of the actual tests, the Krugman study, which shows basically, you know, if you look at it, you know, it's anti-aging effect. You know, Penta water has, you know, an effect of anti-aging because it's eliminating the damage of toxins in the body, which make you age. So if you're removing those from the body, you have an actual, you know, in essence, fountain of youth that's, you know, gonna stop or slow down the aging process to some extent.
And I just want to let people know that just personally, I've been on Penta water for many years, and it's one of the reasons that I can still do, I guess, 16-hour surgeries without taking a break. You know, that's what I mean. Because at my age, most people can't. But I consider a lot of what my health benefits are to being on Penta water, and also the anti-aging effects are obvious in me. I mean, I in terms of my skin, in terms of my general health, I too have fibromyalgia. Mine's more biotoxin disease from mold, and then mercury exposure and that kind of thing. But I can attest as a fibromyalgia patient that Penta water is extremely effective, to the point at which I really can't see not having it. You know, I mean, I drink other water sometimes, and it just doesn't, it's not Penta water. So I can tell the difference. Or at least, you know, I feel it's very important for my health. Well, we've been interviewing Michael Holloway from Penta water. His father and I have had many discussions on the radio show. Say hi to Bill for me. And we will, you know, continue to support Penta water. It's got great science behind it. It's not a chemically induced microcluster. It uses a different process, using energy, which is great, and it has a lot of health benefits, as we've been talking about, including preventative measures. Again, thank you for joining us, Michael. Appreciate you getting up early there.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll have you back in a few months.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Susan Kalb, Temple of Health radio show. We have a few announcements as we get our next guest on. in October, on Saturday at noon, we have, on the 3rd, I am interviewing my niece, Amy Called Noyles, on her new book, Non-Toxic House Cleaning. And as we were just talking with the Penta Water folks, toxic exposures, including those in your house cleaning products, can adversely affect your health. And I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to interview my niece on this book. And then on the 10th, we are interviewing Marion Beauregard on the spiritual brain, a neuroscientist case for the existence of the soul. That should be very interesting. On the 17th, Claire Cummings, who is a attorney on uncertain peril, genetic engineering, and the future of seeds. Fascinating book that goes very well with the Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette interviews we've done in the past on genetically modified foods. On the 24th, Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain. And then on the 31st, Beyond 2012, Catastrophe or Awakening. We have Noetic Science Meeting the third Thursday of every month, October 15th at 7:15 p.m. at the Georgetown Square office. Our guest speaker will be Thomas Nehrer, and he will be speaking about the essence of reality, a clear awareness of how life works. I'm sure that everybody could appreciate that that knowledge would be useful. And he's actually traveling around the world talking at different Noetic Science meetings. So we look forward to meeting him and hearing his information. He has information on his website, The Essence of Reality, at www.neher.net. For our newsletter, which contains great information about the swine flu, go to www.plastikos.com. PLASTIKOS, and there you'll also find the archive radio shows that we've done, and you can listen to those. Many of the really fabulous interviews that we've done will help you understand the challenges that we face as we go toward 2012. Okay, are we ready for our next interview?
I'm here.
Great, great. So I've got Brian Rosner, right?
Yep.
Great, Brian. Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Brian is the author of the Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments, Defeat Lyme Disease with the Best of Conventional Alternative Medicine. Brian, I want to tell you, you've got a great book here. I've learned a lot, and I've been treating Lyme disease for about 10 years. Have you heard of Morgellons disease?
I have. That's an interesting one. I don't know as much about it as I do Lyme disease, but it's definitely an interesting disease.
Well, I ended up showing the doctor who's the head of the Morgellons division in the CDC, her first case of Morgellons.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we've been treating Morgellons from all over the country, and of course, Lyme's is often a pre-existing factor. And then I treat infected breast implants, chemical toxicity from the gel and biotoxicity from mold growing in and around the implants, both on silicone and saline implants. And guess what I found? I found a lot of those patients have Lyme disease as well.
Well, yeah, you know, Lyme disease is one of those conditions that tends to be labeled simplistically. You know, people just say, oh, I have Lyme disease. But what they're really saying and what's, starting to be discovered is that it's sort of a mixing pot, if you will, of pre-existing problems in the body that predispose a person to attract these opportunistic infections. And often, you know, the toxicities and the infections go hand in hand. So once the door is opened for, these predispositions for these toxins and infections to come in, you rarely see only one problem or infection. It's usually a kind of a complicated, picture that involves immune system dysfunction and toxicity and infections. With that said, though, there are cases, and this is what makes Lyme disease so severe, where someone will be perfectly healthy and have no health problems at all and then get bit by a tick and have Lyme disease transmitted into their body. And then from then on out, it's just a downward spiral for them. And so, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Was that person already harboring some sort of subclinical problems, or was the Lyme disease the trigger? You know, I tend to believe that in some cases, at least the Lyme disease itself can be the trigger that starts that downward cascade, and it's just, you know, such a horrible bacteria that creates so much damage on so many different levels.
It's not unlike AIDS, the virus that, you know, infiltrates the T cells, because Lyme's can also affect cells in the immune system. And it's probably like, you know, it's probably like many diseases, they don't always go to one place. They go different places and different people.
Well,
so maybe
actually,
the people that get chronic Lyme's, they have infections of the immune system.
Yeah, that's one of the worst things about Lyme disease. You know, if you, you know, my books describe this in detail. You know, your listeners can learn more about my books at lymebook.com. That's L-Y-M as in Mary E. book.com. But yeah, you know, one of the problems with Lyme disease is the bacteria is called a spirochete. And
mm-hmm.
that spirochete bacteria actually looks like a drill bit if you look at it under the microscope. And unlike a lot of other microorganisms that are confined to certain environments in the body where they can survive, this spirochete literally drills through tissue and can infect, you know, all different body systems. And that is one of the reasons why it's also so difficult to diagnose, because some people have more of it in other parts of their body than other people, and so there's no standard symptom picture that appears, and so that's why it could be so elusive and so problematic. It's also why it can infect the brain and, you know, what we call neuropsychiatric Lyme disease, where somebody has
right.
Lyme disease in their brain and they're, you know, suffering from all these, you know, neurological and psychiatric symptoms. A lot of times they get misdiagnosed with mental disorders and
mm-hmm.
obsessive compulsive disorder and schizophrenia and things like that. And all they really have is an infection that's treatable.
Exactly. That's very true. Many years ago, actually before I interviewed Dr. Garth Nicholson on his work with intracellular mycoplasma, I interviewed Dr. Lydia Matman on her book, Cell Wall Deficient Forms. And Lydia at the time had been given a court order that she couldn't tell anybody, or any doctors anyway, about the 30 cases of intracellular spirochete she found in MS. And Lydia didn't understand why these court orders were being levied against her. Well, I explained it to her privately, and she was just amazed. And it was the beginning of my understanding some of the political, I guess, I'm ex-military. I spent 13 years in the Air Force. Some of the political, and national security interests that are blocking this research. I think people need to understand that this research has been suppressed into intracellular, cell wall deficient forms, and then, like you say in your book, the cyst formations that if you give antibiotics at certain times for too long a time, you can drive the form into a cyst formation that is actually very, very difficult to penetrate with anything except maybe the Reich machine.
Yeah, you know, that the political situation with Lyme disease now, Lyme disease is the most politically charged illness in the country right now, other than possibly swine flu, but you know, swine flu is really, really, you know, becoming an amazing issue. But
okay.
The Lyme disease political situation right now is unbelievable. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There are lawsuits in multiple states of the country, several of which involve, like one of them is the state of Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal,
mm-hmm.
who actually sued the government for antitrust violations when it comes to Lyme disease treatment guidelines. There's just a few good old guys or good old boys, if you
mm-hmm.
will, that are making, you know, the treatment guidelines for Lyme disease and ignoring all the evidence. And there absolutely are, you know, private unfair interests when it comes to Lyme disease. And it's just a tragedy. There's literally thousands of people that are not being treated for Lyme disease because half a dozen old guys that are in their 60s that haven't even ever studied Lyme disease are making rules that don't make any sense based on the last 20 years of research. And so it's really quite amazing to watch it all unfold.
And I think many of those treatment guidelines are based on the acute, you know, you get a tick bite, you get the rash, and then you get, you know, you need the certain amount of treatment with a certain antibiotic. And then that's the only disease they recognize. They don't recognize that it goes into, they don't recognize what Lydia Matman spent her whole life studying. I mean, that research really was suppressed. Anything having to do with cell wall deficient forms was suppressed because that's the basis of a lot of biological warfare. And that's just the truth. I mean, that's what it is. They don't want it studied because they don't want it revealed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's the evidence is very clear, and they do recognize it, but they won't tell you that they recognize it. I mean, it's impossible. Anybody with, you know, 20 minutes and an average IQ can look at the studies, and you know, there's hundreds of studies now that show that, you know, Lyme disease treated with the quote unquote adequate course of antibiotics in at least, you know, 30 to 50% of cases, it doesn't go away, it doesn't get resolved, and yet they still say there's no such thing as chronic Lyme disease. And these studies are not obscure studies. You know, I was just reading one by Yale University that just came out about a year and a half ago where they took about 50 people with Lyme disease and only 14 recovered after normal antibiotic therapy. I mean, it's just so obvious. It's just disturbing that there are these interests.
Well, I suspect, strongly that the traditional spirochetan Lyme's is not the only thing that's transmitted by the tick. And I think that when you have two or three things transmitted, some of which may not even be able to be identified. You know, you just don't know. We're identifying some of the other things, but, you know, God knows what else. I mean, there could be viral elements that haven't been identified yet, but I think we're getting mixed infections in people. Or maybe particular spirochetes do affect the immune system, and then nothing will work after that because you spiral down so quickly that you can't get them back without something, an alternative therapy like Rife. And just for our listeners, Rife is a vibrational based therapy that actually targets particular organisms. And it's one of the best to use for intracellular organisms because our antibiotics don't necessarily target intracellular organisms in certain forms. They just can't get to them, especially the cyst formations.
Yeah, that's another reason why, you know, everything in this area is so controversial is that, you know, the Rife machines are also highly controversial, and that's one of the things in my own recovery that I found to be so helpful. But they're highly targeted by the authorities
the FBI will come in and confiscate them all out of your clinics.
Right, exactly, and that's why, you know. Yeah, I have, you know, I've written books on the Rife machine, but I don't ever touch, you know, any commercial endorsements or telling people they should get this Rife machine or that because it's a very, you know, difficult legal situation. But in my own, you know, and I think it's also the medical establishment not wanting to lose their grip on patients and that revenue source of selling patients drugs, you know, and
actually, I think it's the medical doctors' desire not to lose their license and have their clinic records and computers confiscated.
Well, that's at the doctor level. That's the problem at the doctor level. But at the larger industry level, what the Rife-type devices would mean for, let's say, pharmaceutical companies is that a lot of the diseases that pharmaceutical chemicals can treat, those chemicals wouldn't be as in demand because people would be able to solve their problems other ways. And so there's a huge money problem there for those companies.
Yeah, but, you know, as you pointed out in your book, the best treatments are actually the rotating or revolving treatments. You know, the antibiotics, if you keep doing them, and I treat Lyme, so if you keep doing them without breaks, you get into toxicity, and especially if you don't rotate them often enough. We use a lot of applied kinesiology to basically make sure we're going to help and not hurt the patient. But it's very important to stop the therapies for a while. And during those times when you're stopping them, that's a great time to use these other things, the natural therapies. I have a Morgellons protocol out, and we have mangosteen and systemic enzymes. And, of course, we don't really talk about Rife in the protocol, but it certainly is. Morgellons is more of a mixed infection. It's many, many different things. So Rife would not be as important for that as it is for Lyme's, because Lyme's is often one thing, and you can actually target it with the Rife machine. So, but I think just from what I know about vibrational medicine, it's actually a great treatment. And if the pharmaceutical industries would understand that they are part of a larger treatment that's actually going to work, then actually they'd probably sell more drugs. You see what I mean?
That's an interesting concept, yeah.
Because right now, you know, the people take the antibiotics, they get the Herx reactions, and they quit taking antibiotics. They don't take any more. They just go to natural therapies. Now, how many people do you know did that? I mean,
and what you said about the rotating, you know, of the therapies, that's very true. You pointed out that if you keep doing one treatment over and over again, you know, like the same antibiotic, you get the toxicity.
But then
there's another reason to rotate, too, which is that the bacteria becomes resistant to, you know, any given treatment after a short period of time. So that's another reason why, you know, these treatments are rotated. And that's also why people have such a hard time getting over Lyme, because in order to get over it, that's why my book is called The Top 10 Lyme Disease Treatments. People ask me, why did you name it the top 10? Why isn't there just one? And I said, well, I named it the top 10 Lyme disease treatments because there isn't just one. And part of the whole principle of getting rid of the disease is to rotate it, to rotate the treatments to prevent the spirochetes from getting resistant, you know, to whatever treatment you're using. And that's why it's so difficult to get well, because a lot of people don't have access to these different rotating treatments. You know, once they've gone through three or four, they don't know where to go from there. And so, you know, I sort of see it as my job as a journalist or your job as a practitioner to supply these people with options for, you know, a dozen or two dozen or three dozen different antimicrobial options for them to use in a rotating basis, you know, until there's a cure that's found that somebody could just use one thing. But until that happens, you know, the rotation is necessary.
I wanted to mention to our listening audience that you actually had Lyme's disease. You want to give a little bit of your history with that, because it makes the book from a much different standpoint than if you're just an investigative reporter on it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I wouldn't have any reason to write about Lyme disease if I hadn't had it. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and, you know, while I, you know, have been involved in publishing and writing, if I hadn't had the disease myself and seen how hard it is to get rid of and seen how little information there is, I would have never been in this situation. Basically, I, you know, had a mystery illness starting in about the year 2000, maybe dating even back to childhood, but it's hard to say. And I went to, you know, I spent about $100,000 going to fancy clinics and trying to get diagnosed, and I never got diagnosed with Lyme disease until finally one doctor near my home ran a test, and it was positive. And it actually took a few tests to get the positive. That's another story that, you know, Lyme disease testing can take, you know, it's not very accurate. But anyway, then I started to quickly get better. And although, you know, I had been sick for so long, it took me a good 3 or 4 years to get back on my feet. If I had figured out what was wrong with me earlier, I would have gotten better faster and spent less money and suffering. And so I have to be honest, I am a little bit bitter that I was a victim of ignorance in, you know, this area, and that for years I was suffering and getting worse, and it complicated my recovery to not have access to, you know, proper information, and it's just unbelievable. Lyme disease is the fastest spreading infectious disease in the country right now, even faster than AIDS, with an estimated 20,000 cases per year, new cases, but that estimate is actually low. That's the CDC estimate, and experts, you know, believe it may be 10 times that high. And yet, even if you look at medical school curriculums now, which is what's important, that's how new doctors are being trained, they still don't teach that in medical school. So it's in continuing education, and, you know, a lot of environments where physicians could be educated about this, they just aren't being educated. And so it's, you know, in 20 years, I think they're going to look back on this time period, you know, hopefully when Lyme disease gets its due recognition, and this is going to be a large-scale human tragedy of loss of quality of life due to this, you know, this emerging disease that's not being recognized yet.
That's true, and I often suspect if Lyme's is not being transmitted other than by the tick, I've suspected for a while that it may be being transmitted via other insects.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. I actually happen to have done a lot of research in that. I wrote a book last year called The Lyme Autism Connection, and it was I co-authored it with a lady named Tammy Duncan, whose son has autism, and made the connection that her son's autism is caused by Lyme disease. Now, autism isn't always caused by Lyme, but in this case it was. And so there are numerous other ways that Lyme disease can be transmitted. You know, one of them is during pregnancy from a mother to
right.
a child, which has been documented. And
yeah.
now, you know, it's standard procedure in most hospitals. If a mother has a risk factor for Lyme disease, there's precautions that are
mm-hmm.
that are taken for that. Sexual transmission is also possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other insects, you know, I haven't seen solid evidence in that area, but it seems completely likely and possible. And, you know, there's just a number of mysteries still that have yet to be explored. And, you know, I think you were exactly right when you said ticks transmit other infections. That's proven. That's, you know, that
right.
that's modern, you know, data right now. Ehrlichiosis, Babesia, mycoplasma, you know, these are what we call co-infections that often are transmitted with the tick bite. These ticks are just, you know, harboring bodies for all of these, you know, bacteria and viruses and different types of pathogens, and they are transferred during the tick bite. And you know, these co-infections are believed to be rare, but they are not rare, but they are definitely recognized as common, you know, infections that get transmitted during tick bites. And, you know, that's a whole other can of worms to talk about is how do you treat those? How do they complicate the treatment
right.
picture? Some of the treatments are contraindicated. For example, oxygen, you know, ozone oxygen, hyperbaric
mm-hmm.
oxygen, can help heal Lyme disease, but it can help proliferate or make worse Babesia, because Babesia,
right.
you know, can use that oxygen to survive. And so that gets even more complicated when you start to talk about that.
Yeah, these are very, very complex issues. I wanted to ask you, I just wanted to mention, too, that, like, your pets that go outside all the time and get ticks on them, then you might be transmitting them to the people in the house via the saliva from the pets. That's the other
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I see that because so many Morgellons patients, their pets actually have Morgellons, and Lyme's is probably... you know, present in that population. We don't have too much time left, but I wanted to invite you back because we need to talk again, as you know, because there's a lot more to cover. but also, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some therapies we're using that weren't mentioned in your book. What about, we're using a combination of the cat's claw, which is mentioned in your book, the harmonic quad, which is an electromagnetic therapy developed by Dr. James Overman, and also, you know, Hulda Clark's developed the original technology. And then dioxychlor or MMS, which targets intracellular things. Have you had any experience with those?
I've had experience with all three, and I would have two comments to make. Number one, those are all, in my opinion, good therapies. Number two, everybody is going to respond differently because different people have different strains of the bacteria, and for
right.
some reason, you know, some people will just have an incredible response to one thing and none,
mm-hmm.
and another person might have no response. So I think it's important to stay flexible. I think one of the problems I see in some practitioners is they have a set protocol that they use on everyone,
right.
and when it doesn't work for somebody, they say, oh, well, it must be the mm-hmm. patient not complying, or they must not be taking
right.
it right, or, you know, but really, they might just have a different need. So I think that, you know, from a practitioner standpoint, the most important thing is to stay flexible on an individual basis. But, you know, the MMS that you mentioned, I have heard a couple of stories of people that have real long-standing Lyme that seem to get extremely, you know, helped by that. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't used it. I have the problem now where I used to be sick enough that I could kind of be a guinea pig and test a lot of things on myself. Now I'm well enough
mm-hmm.
that I can't tell as easily what helps and what doesn't, so I sort of rely on reports from people.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one thing that has been getting good reports. You know, the cat's claw, there's a brand called Nutramedics that makes a
mm-hmm.
product called Cemento, and that's a particular type of cat's claw that people have been getting good results with. But again, that's an antibacterial herb, and just like any other type of antibacterial herb, those can be the bacteria can become resistant to it. I have a whole list on my website at limebook.com. You can also visit that website at defeatlyme.com. But anyway, there's a whole list of these natural antibacterial herbs like garlic, colloidal silver, oregano oil, cat's claw. And some people will take cat's claw and they'll get better, you know, completely.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, they'll take it and it'll help them for 2 weeks, and then it'll stop helping them, and they need something else. So I think the flexibility and, you know, individual treatment approach is what really matters.
I just want to also tell people on Cat's Claw that it is a blood thinner, and I found that out because one of my Lyme's patients didn't stop it before surgery, and I didn't realize it was. We have an extensive list of things not to take before surgery, but that is definitely one. So if you're going to have surgery, even a minor surgery procedure, you should stop that for about a week. That may be something that even you didn't know, but that's true.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And I know that because I was the surgeon on the other end of that. And then when I looked it up, it really was true. It's just that there's so many things that affect bleeding that we have to be aware and let people know, because obviously they don't need the complication of a blood clot or other problems. But in any case, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and I'll give Gio information to contact you again so we can have a whole hour, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'd love to go into, you know, the Marshall Protocol and the salt vitamin C thing, and I'd like to talk to you more about Morgellons disease and get some of your ideas on that, if you don't mind, since you're an expert on Lyme's and Rife. I think that would be helpful to me, since I treat that. But anyway, I want to thank you very much for joining us. We've been talking to Brian Rosner, who's the author of the Top 10 Lyme's Disease Treatment, and also Lyme's Disease and Rife Machine, is that the name of the book? Or?
Right.
Yeah, okay. He wrote a book first on a Rife therapy and Lyme's disease treatment, since that proved to be a very, very effective treatment. But again, we're going to explore these more at a later time. And Brian, thank you very much for calling us.
Yep, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye now. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week when I interview my niece on non-toxic house cleaning. Thank you very much.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute. You look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plasticos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone, skin, and contour the body. Endermology by Plasticos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plasticos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plasticos at 770-457-4677. Plasticos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plasticos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plasticos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plasticos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plasticos is a bargain.
Plasticos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.